That's what true friendship is about. Helping out someone that maybe has a little stage fright, and their friends willing to be a help to him. What a blessing that was to see that. And so we not only learn good academics, but we learn good manners. We learn how to be a helper to each other. And that's something that each and every one of us could value. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet by any means. But I tell you what, that boy that sang out, "Jesus loves me," I think God has something for him down the road, parents. You better watch out. I don't know if God's going to call him to be a preacher, but he's pretty excited about Jesus loving him, amen. You know, it's kind of funny because when my children were growing up, and I go to something like you go, and be quite honest with you, it wasn't my favorite thing to go, but my wife dragged me to go. It's your child, you have to go. I'm like, all right, I'll go. And we go there and watch them, and I'm thinking, please don't let it be my child. Please don't let, there's always someone that's, you know, dancing around, and I was like, please, God, don't let it be my child. But listen, we're glad that you're here. We're glad that your child could be here. I just want to speak for just a few moments very quickly while you're children get their caps and gowns on for the graduation, actually commencement exercise. I thought about this. What am I going to say to a bunch of parents here that has entrusted their children with us for the last couple of years? If you've been here, some have been here since they were crib babies all the way up through, and now they're getting ready to go into K-5, and we're excited for that. But what am I going to say to you? I thought about this, and I thought that every one of us wants to be successful. We want to be successful in our family life. We want to be successful in our business life. We want to be successful in our relationships with each other. And as we think about this academic setting, I think there's the stress on education to be successful. I mean, you pay a lot of money for us to be able to watch your children, to teach your children, and we like to give you some good value for your money. And I hope and you feel in your heart that we have done that. And there's the hopes of parents to have successful children. You know, when your children are growing up, you know, not so much perhaps when they're so little, but as they move into junior high and then high school, we pray for them. We want them to be successful in all they do. And then it turns from not only your dreams and prayers for them to be successful, but they have dreams that they want to be successful in this life. And they want to please you and God Almighty, and they want to be successful in this life. And I thought about that. What is success? How can we define success? Well, first of all, success is not financial security. Now, there's nothing wrong with having financial security, but that's not what success is. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Mark chapter number 8 and verse 36, "For what shall they profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose their soul?" So we understand this then, that success is not financial security. Success is not even fame and popularity, because both are fleeting. The Bible said, and the world passeth away, and how true that is. You know, your fame and your popularity, you look at some of the people on our television sets and on the internet, and those influencers, they'll be here one day and next day they'll be gone. They'll be popular one minute and gone the next. So success really is not fame or popularity, but success is living inside the will of God. The Bible tells us, "But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." That's what true success is, abiding in God's will for your life. And so I thought about, what am I going to say about how we can be successful in this life? That's three quick points. I'm going to begin reading, and it should be on the screen in front of you, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, a very familiar passage of Scripture to many of you. The Bible says this, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Let's pray. Father, we come before you this afternoon. We thank you for this graduating class of 2025. Father, I pray, Lord, as we try to be a help to the parents, and they might instill this into their children as they grow even older physically. Help them to understand that God does have an unfailing success formula. And if they apply these truths to their life and teach and train them in their children, Father, they will be successful in this life. So, Father, work as only you can do. We love you and thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Well, how can we follow God's unfailing success formula? There's three things. Number one, receive the Son of God. Notice in verse number 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." You see, God's formula for success begins with faith. That word faith can mean trust. We could also could use a synonym of that term, means belief. That word trust in the Lord occurs 152 times in the Old Testament. Testament. You say, well, what about the New Testament? Well, the New Testament doesn't use those exact words, but we do find this, that it does give us an equivalent of that in the book of Acts. It tells us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So we have the Old Testament rendition. We have the New Testament wording description for us. That is how we receive the Son of God. Success begins when we are born again. And by that, I simply mean this. We put our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for us. I think about Saul. Saul was a Pharisee. He was one that persecuted Christians. But then, understanding this, that he was righteous, he was religious, but he was not righteous. And so we find that Saul needed to receive Christ as his Savior. He was a religious leader. He attended church. He did all those things that you're supposed to do, but he was lost. So we find this, that in John chapter 1 and verse number 12, the Bible says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the question we have then this afternoon is this: how do we receive Jesus Christ? Well, it's very easy. Number one, you must admit that you're a sinner. That's not too hard. I mean, we can look at our lives even today as we got up and we understand that we have done things wrong. A sin is this: anything that we say or do or think that displeases God. Now, oftentimes, man categorizes sin as this. They'll say, well, I don't commit adultery. I don't beat my wife. I don't steal from people, so I'm okay. But that's not God's definition of sin. You see, man's definition of sin and God's definition of sin is different. So anything that we say, do, or think that displeases a righteous and holy God, that is sin. And the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we have to admit that we are sinners. That's really not too hard for us to do today. Then secondly, we must believe. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or demonstrated or showed his love towards us, and with that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we have to believe. We have to believe that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary to take our place. The Bible tells us he was a man who knew no sin, yet became sin for you and I. That's hard to believe, isn't it? It's hard to believe that someone would love us before we even love them, but that's the essence of Romans 5 in verse number 8, that he loved us before we loved him. So we have to admit that we're a sinner. We have to believe that Jesus Christ took our place on the cross, but then lastly, we have to confess our sinfulness to him. And Romans 10:9 says this, but if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Simply this, that I oftentimes say this, that people miss heaven by 18 inches. You say, well, how do you miss heaven by 18 inches? 18 inches is the approximate space between your heart and your head. And the problem is today is that a lot of us know about Jesus. We know that we celebrate his birthday. We know Easter, we celebrate his resurrection. We know some of the stories. We went through Sunday school and did different classes in our churches. And we know about him, but we know about him up here. But that's not salvation. Salvation is really understanding this, that Jesus Christ, we know he died for us, and we believe it. We believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. That is how that we can know and we can receive the Son of God. Well, for God's unfailing success formula, we have to receive the Son of God. But then in verse number 5, the last part, we need to read the Word of God. Bible says, lean not to thine own understanding. You understand this, that our human reasoning is faulty? Now, don't tell my wife this, but sometimes I do make bad decisions, amen? Our human reasoning doesn't always work out the way that we hoped it to. But the truth of the matter is, it's limited and it's faulty. And our learning does not always bring answers that we desire to have. As a matter of fact, Paul, that person Saul who got saved and later became Paul, wrote to Timothy, a young preacher, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7, he says this, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we can understand this, that our learning has not yet brought all the answers to life that we have. But I'm here to tell you today, all the answers to life are found in this book if we're willing to dig it out and hunt it down for ourselves. And so we understand that we ought to read God's Word. And listen, you can be educated but still miss the truth. You can have doctor's degrees. You can have a master's degree. You can have multiple PhDs and still miss the truth of God's Word. The Bible gives us God's view of life. It imparts wisdom in Psalm 119. It gives us understanding in verse 104. It brings light unto ourself in Psalm 119, verse 130. But guess what? God's Word also builds faith. In Romans 10:17, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, there will be no success in this life apart from applying God's Word to your life. Well, God's really a success formula is receive the Son of God. It begins there. Number two, begins by reading the Word. And lastly, then we'll be done. Recognize the hand of God. Notice the first part of verse number 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. You understand this, whether you believe it or not, that God is at work in all the events of our lives. Notice in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18, again, Paul writes and he says, all things are of God. Then he writes in Romans 8 and verse number 28, he says, all things work together for good. Understanding this, that not everything that comes into our life is good things, but they all work to good. And that's for those who have received Christ as your personal Savior. And if you're here today and you're saved and you're struggling, you're going through some hard times, understand this, that all things will work out for His honor and for His glory. I want you to see God's hand in everything that happens in your life. And if you'll do that, you will remove the anxiety and stress in your life, and you'll have increased joy knowing that God is sovereign and He's in control of your life. Well, our part of this unfailing success formula is we must begin by faith. We must receive the Son of God as our personal Savior. You must be saved. We must make choices in faith by reading the Word of God. We must dare to take the steps of faith, recognizing the hand of God. That's our part. But here's God's part. The Bible says, He shall direct thy paths. And this then is where we get to successful living, knowing God's will, and then doing God's will, having the leading of God every day in your life. And God will come through with His part. But here we go. Will you come through with your part so He can come through with your part? So God's unfailing success formula is bound up in receiving the Son of God. It's by reading the Word of God. And lastly, it's by recognizing God's hand of everything that happens in our life. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father,